Penguin Random House Audio presents How to Survive History. How to Outrun a Tyrannosaurus, Escape Pompeii, Get Off the Titanic, and Survive the Rest of History's Deadliest Catastrophes by Cody Cassidy. Read for you by Dennis Boutsakaris. For Mom and Dad. Introduction. A few years ago, I read a study written by a team of paleontologists that seemed to suggest I could outrun the most powerful predator in the history of our planet. I found this surprising. I consider myself a mediocre example of an athletically pedestrian species, with a top speed well below that of nearly every predator, never mind the deadliest. Yet the evidence that I could outsprint the formidable Tyrannosaurus Rex appeared convincing. By measuring the size, musculature, balance, bone strength, and stride length of the great saurian, along with the application of an obscure formula originally developed to design boat hulls and ingeniously repurposed to determine running speeds, these paleontologists produced an estimation of the T-Rex's top speed that appeared surprisingly attainable. Clearly, I had to experiment. I stepped outside, paced off a reasonable distance, timed myself, and I just edged it out. Barely. And when I accounted for the added motivation provided by a T-Rex's breath on the back of my neck, I gave myself a reasonable chance. That confidence only grew when I dug further. I studied the evasion strategies employed by prey animals and found they allowed these athletically outclassed animals to escape predators far faster than themselves. If I applied these techniques to my own life and death chase, the numbers suggested I would survive an encounter with the greatest hunter in the history of our planet. The surprising discovery that I could use the latest research to conceivably survive an afternoon in the late Cretaceous era with a starved Tyrannosaurus nipping at my heels inspired further questions. With the benefit of hindsight and modern science, could a time traveler visit Pompeii and survive the eruption of Mount Vesuvius? Could they buy a third-class ticket on the Titanic and find their way off the sinking ship? Could they survive the Black Death? Could they escape the path of the most powerful tornado in history, ride alongside Magellan on his horrifically dangerous circumnavigation, or haul up stones to build Khufu's Great Pyramid? In the process of discovering how a person could possibly survive these catastrophes and adventures, I found myself learning about these events in a far more granular way than a general history could ever provide. By focusing on hours, not eras, I felt the distance between the modern day and ancient history shrink to the proximity of a pursuing Tyrannosaurus. Focusing on the individual's experience as the Gothic hordes poured into Rome, or as an earthquake rocked San Francisco's peninsula during 1906, and then determining whether one should turn right or left, fight, hide, or flee, not only intensified and enlivened these bygone events, but delivered the kind of tangible information often neglected in vast-reaching histories. The result is How to Survive History, a detailed, practical manual for surviving the greatest catastrophes and adventures in this planet's history. It's a how-to for finding food, shelter, and warmth in the face of history's most spectacular disasters. I've scoured every resource to come up with the likeliest way to survive each destination. I've read the diaries of the survivors, studied the accidents, and read the postmortems. I've looked at old maps or made my own when there weren't any. I've asked the world's leading experts what they would do if they found themselves at the center of these great apocalypses and report their answers, illuminating their disagreements and explaining their reasoning. I've taken no speculative liberties save those necessary when history has obscured the precise details. There's no way to know, for example, the timing and path for every ejected lava bomb during the Pompeii eruption, and therefore it's possible the path I recommend would place you directly beneath a falling hunk of smoldering rock. I can only tell you the path where that is least likely to happen. In other words, survival is not guaranteed. This guide is not a work of fiction or fantasy, save, of course, for the time-traveling reader's presence. It remains as faithful to actual events as the historical record allows. I have not fictionalized any of the events, nor have I conjured any dangers. I have not skirted any uncomfortable truths, nor conveniently ignored any threats. I have, however, made a few assumptions. I have assumed that, like any good traveler, you're familiar with the local language. customs, and dress were applicable. Xenophobia runs deep in human history. In many of these locations, eras, and cultures, assimilation isn't just useful or courteous, it's life-saving. I've also assumed you're up to date on your vaccinations. The whooping cough vaccine may seem like an annoying anachronism now, but in many times and places, you're going to have a bad time if you neglect it. Finally, to avoid redundancy, I have skipped over some dangers inherent to nearly all eras past. For example, don't drink the water, do assume your doctor has little idea what they're doing, and when meeting a stranger, remember that historical rates of interpersonal violence approach war zone-like levels. In short, this book should be heard as an entirely serious attempt to guide a visitor through our planet's greatest catastrophes and adventures using the benefits of hindsight and modern science. It's written for the modern time traveling listener who wants to witness the most dramatic, destructive, and dangerous events in history and come back alive. Good luck! How to Survive the Dinosaur Age. Let's say you want to visit the era when the most powerful predators in history attacked the largest land animals the planet has ever seen. You want to see 80-ton reptiles, carnivores with jaws comparable to a car shredder, and an animal the size of a giraffe take flight. So you travel back 70 million years to the Mesozoic era, back to the dinosaur age. In the warmed climate, you'll feel the sticky heat of the Louisiana bayous as far north as Montana. You'll notice the changed geography, the absence of Rocky Mountains and the Sierra Nevada, the sea covering the Midwestern United States, the island of India. Grass will have only recently evolved, so you'll see a few blades, but no grasslands, only ferns, ficus, figs, cycads, and ginkgos, along with large trees and dense forests. You'll also see the famous Tyrannosaurus Rex. Unfortunately, it will see you, too. You might think your only chance would be to hide, stand still, play dead, or climb, but surprisingly, shockingly, recent evidence suggests that you might be able to run from the most powerful predator to ever walk this planet. At least, if you know how to use your biggest advantage, your size. If a mouse fell down a 1,000-foot mine shaft, the renowned evolutionary biologist J.B.S. Haldane once proposed the mouse would rise, shake the dust off, scurry away, and maybe even get right back up to do it again. If a rat fell from the same height, however, it would die. A horse would splash, Haldane writes, and a human would break. Haldane does not provide a colorful verb in his 1926 essay On Being the Right Size for what would occur if a 9-ton Tyrannosaurus Rex fell into that mine, but the giant predator would scream down the shaft at 172 miles per hour, hit the ground with 120 tons of force, and shatter? Dismember? Detonate? Erupt? Regardless of the proper descriptor for the T-Rex's disturbing demise, the purpose of Haldane's gruesome thought experiment was to demonstrate the dramatically different relationships that large and small animals have with gravity. This relationship and the differing fates of the mouse and the rat are explained by the square cube law, which states the simple fact that as an object expands, its volume cubes while its surface area merely squares. Because a falling animal's surface area increases its air resistance while its mass determines the force of its impact, the falls of various animals can be thrilling, tragic, or messy, depending on small differences in size. This may be a simple concept, but because a cube number grows so much faster than a squared one, it is exceedingly difficult to intuit what the effects of small differences in size will be. That's particularly true with regard to the largest land animals to have ever walked the Earth, especially if you have to outrun them. When the T-Rex takes an interest in you, you may see its long legs and powerful muscles and think you should hide. Don't. You have the disproportionate effects of size on your side. The T-Rex's eruptive demise at the bottom of the mineshaft illustrates the most important factor to consider when facing this giant saurian's pursuit. In the run for your life, its awe-inspiring, terrifying, stupefying size would be, in fact, your greatest advantage. A full-grown Tyrannosaurus Rex was absurdly huge and absurdly powerful. It had rows of teeth it could push through Triceratops' bone. It could toss human-sized chunks of meat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?